We're going to be in the book of John this morning, chapter 17. I'd like to take just a few moments this morning. I believe it'll be a few moments, you know how I am sometimes, but talking about unity in the body of Christ. And we need to realize that this unity that comes in the body of Christ is supernatural. It is a supernatural unity. Because we each and every one of us knows this morning how we are. And it has to be something that is supernatural to bring us into a unity together. Let's look at John chapter 17. We're going to be reading verses 20 and 23. And I'm not going to go to the scripture in Isaiah, but I've scribbled down just a few things during Sunday school class. And in Isaiah 53, it's talking about the crucifixion of Christ and what he was going to be facing. One word that jumped out at me is that he was despised, that he was rejected, and that he was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. He knew grief, and he bore our griefs, and he carried our sorrows, and he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was oppressed and afflicted. He was like a lamb taken to the slaughter. And yet with all this, he still had the love for us that he would pray this prayer in John 17 for us as believers. If you go back and you read the first passage of the scripture, he starts out praying for himself. And that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to pray for ourselves first and foremost, and then pray for other believers. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. Neither pray I thee for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be what? One. Even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The body of Christ, believers, not just this building, but a body of believers throughout the world is the bride of Christ. What is his desire for believers? It's for, in this scripture, it's for protection, it's for sanctity to be set apart. It's that they'll have joy. But above all this, his prayer for you as a believer is that their unity, that complete unity, and it is the kind of unity that can only come through supernatural. In other words, it is the only unity that is possible. That same kind of unity, he says, that he has with his Father, that Jesus Christ had with the Heavenly Father. And that is the only way we can become unified. That is the only way that we can become a complete body of Christ, is through the presence of Christ in our lives. You know, you can look at the churches throughout the world, the different denominations. You can look at within the churches themselves and see the division that is in them. But how could he possibly have prayed for unity? Our sinful nature, it's almost, well, it is unattainable because of our sinful nature. But with the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our life, his presence in our life, we can have that unity. His prayer for us in this scripture, in this prayer in John 17 here is that we not only read His Word, but that we hear His Word, and that we know that without a doubt, that we must depend on Him. There's no other way for this unity to happen unless we have the presence of Christ in our life. You know, as you look at the disciples and you examine their lives and you study about the different characteristics that they had, they were different politically. They different education-wise. They had different professions. They had different temperaments. You know, and the same thing, you look at this body of Christ here and look at the different people here this morning. Educational-wise, politically, the different professions, different temperaments. And with these disciples having all these different characteristics among themselves, they had things that they could argue about. And the Scripture tells us, we're not going to go there this morning, but in the book of Matthew 20 and Mark 9, it even talks about them arguing. One thing they were arguing about is who's going to be the greatest. But after 3 years with Jesus, if you look in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of what? One heart and of one soul." In other words, after the power and presence of Jesus Christ in their lives is the only way that they could become one heart and one mind and one soul. They're no different than we are right here. We all have different personalities. We all have different interests. We are different politically. We have different educations. And yet the Spirit of Christ, that unity, can be brought together by the power and the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? That is the only way it's possible. And when you think about that supernatural unity, and it is supernatural because people realize that people cannot be brought together and function together as one body unless it's a supernatural thing. Even the world can see this. With that thought in mind, think about evangelism. What is real evangelism? Supernatural unity will lead to real evangelism. So I ask the question, what is the greatest evangelical tool that we can have? Is it crusades? Is it missions? Is it tracts that you hand out? Is it going door to door and knocking on doors? How about TV evangelism? How about radio? How about we're going out on the internet? If you go to westerngrovebiblechurch.org, it'll take you to a link that you can listen to the sermons. Is that the greatest tool? No. The greatest tool that we can have as far as evangelizing people, what points people to Christ, is unity. It's unity. And I believe our teachings as a church and the things that we talk about, that they should include the unity of the church. Now, let's back up and read that one more time. In 17:20-23, says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through" what? "Their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may" what? "Believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Jesus prays for believers to be one, for completely united. That's what one is, right? To be completely united. And for what purpose? It gives us the answer in 21, the last part of verse 21. It says that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He also gives us another answer in the last part of verse 23, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He prays for that unity so that the world will believe, that they will believe on Jesus Christ. He prays for that unity that the world will believe that God sent His only begotten Son. He prays for this unity that the world will not only believe that they sent Him, but that the world will realize how much He loves you. You know, that unity stands out. That true loving fellowship that you can have as a body of believers, as a body of Christ, it's alien to this world. And when people see that going on, they realize that it's not of this world. They realize that it is supernatural. So if we don't have love for one another, if we're not unified, if we're not a functioning body of Christ the way we should be, the world won't know. Unity is like a magnet. People want to be a part of something that is supernatural. Amen? When you see that something is real, you want to be a part of it. Amen? And I believe that's why this body of Christ is growing, is because of that unity that we have. That it doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from us. It comes from the presence of Christ in our lives. People are attracted to that. They know that it is supernatural. Unity in Christ, it's not something to be achieved. It's something to be recognized. You realize that? It's not something to achieve, but something to be recognized. Unity in Christ, people will recognize it. They'll know that it's real. They'll know that you're sincere. Does that mean you're going to not mess up? No. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up and you're going to fall. You're going to stumble. But the unity of Christ and the power of Jesus Christ in your life is supernatural. What was that scripture you shared with us in Corinthians?
2 Corinthians 5:17.
2 Corinthians says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creature. You're not the same person that you used to be. And as you grow and change and evolve, then you become unified in that body of Christ. And if you're not hooked up with a body of Christ and you're a believer, then you need to be. Because that's where God wants you to be. How can you be unified? How can you show that supernatural ability that God has given you unless you're hooked to a body of Christ? I'm not trying to push you into this body of Christ, but if you're not going to church and not involved in a body of Christ somewhere, I encourage you to get somewhere in a Bible preaching, believing in Jesus Christ church. Amen?
Amen.
Get involved. Be part of that unity. Be a part of something that is supernatural. How do you get there? How do you become a part of that? It's like Fletcher said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, God wants you to be part of that unity. He wants you to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling within you. It's not about belonging to a local church. It's about Jesus Christ first. You got to go through that step first. Because if you don't go through that step first, it's just about religious things. Jesus Christ Himself spoke out against religion. Do you realize that? It's not about churchy things. It's not about little functions here and there. It's about the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And with that Spirit, it brings unity. So what does it mean to believe? People believe in God. People believe in Jesus Christ. But if you read and study the Scriptures, even the demons at that time, they believed in God. They knew who Jesus Christ was. Every story that you read about, immediately when Jesus Christ walks up, they knew who He was. They didn't nobody have to tell them, because they knew that He was God in the flesh. You realize that? So to believe is believing that what He did for you on the cross, He did for you personally. Believing that you are a sinner, recognizing your need for the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart and to your life. It's believing that there's no other way, and there is no other way. No matter what we want to make or do, the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you're going to have that Spirit of Jesus Christ in you. Does not make you a better person. It just puts you in a better position. Amen? Amen. Folks, we're talking about eternity. We're talking about eternity where you're going to spend the rest of your life. You can be unified now or separated forever.